Back again one final time on the Mike Moore Show on Dakota Country 1210.
KOKK.
News Director Zach Nelson along with Beadle County State's Attorney Mike Moore. And like I said, we're flip-flopping the show around a little bit. Normally, what you're about to hear, we do at the beginning of the show, get caught up on what's been happening with the State's Attorney's Office. But before we do that, Mike, your thoughts on the previous portions of the program with Judge Means and what you heard.
Yeah, I thought I really appreciate Judge Means coming in and talking about that. And I think drug court's a good thing. I think that people that listen to the show will understand what it is. It's not if you get arrested for a drug offense, you get put in drug court. It's for special individuals that have prior convictions that are really addicted and have an addiction issue, and they get to go to drug court rather than go to the penitentiary. And they have a lot better chance of overcoming their addiction. And I think that's really the key. And I really appreciate it. Judge Means coming in and talking about that. And I really appreciate the state funding this and making it a part of Beadle County. I think it will really it'll help the individuals that have addiction issues, and it will help. It'll keep the public safer because these people are going to go through this program and they're going to be better members of society. They're going to be a lot less likely to reoffend. So I really appreciate this coming here, and I hope it's a great success. And it's been a great success everywhere, so I have no reason to think that it won't be here.
Absolutely. Last month, we had scheduling conflicts. We couldn't record a new program, and it was really unfortunate because it was right around the time when we would have been doing a new program that there was finally resolution in the vandalism spree case, Mike.
Right.
How did that all pan out?
Well, the individuals, they all admitted their responsibility, and they were sentenced by the court, ordered to pay back the restitution. They got the maximum sentence in a juvenile proceeding, which is sent to Department of Corrections. They'll go through that programming. They'll set up a restitution schedule. Obviously, it's unlikely that they'll be able to pay the $90,000 odd dollars that they owe. But they're held accountable to what we were able to do. And we talked about that. And I really think it's lucky that we were able to adjudicate them prior to July 1st next week, because it would have been a totally different ballgame. And even the judge in court after that, when he addressed the victims, explained that to them. And that's just something that I think people need to be aware of. And I think we can talk about that more as this new law takes effect. And we're at, I think there's some great aspects to it, but there's just certain things that could happen that maybe the individuals that came up with that didn't really expect to be the outcome. And, you know, the truancy thing is a issue that we need to talk about at some, maybe, you know, in August, right before we go back to school, talk about what's going to happen on truancy cases. And, things like that will be very interesting as we go forward.
Obviously, with 120 or so victims to that, you can't get everyone's reaction. But generally speaking, were the victims okay with how the sentencing panned out?
Well, I don't know that I would say that they were okay with it. I think that they understood it. They were explained what could and could not happen. So, you know, to say that they're okay with it, that they were windows were shot, and most of that $90,000 was out of pocket because insurance covered very little of that. I think the amount was in the teens, $15,000-$17,000. So a lot of that is out of pocket money that they're likely never see again. So I don't think that they were okay with what happened, but they're frustrated. But that's the system, and they understand it. They understand why it was like that. But I don't know that I would say that they were okay.
They overly thrilled with the process, but understood right. That, well, this is the best that it can be.
Right. And I think they understood the difference that we're lucky we got them before July 1st, because even less would have happened after July 1st. And it would have been a totally different issue after that.
I was surprised with how quickly it seemed that case just period went through the system. I mean, is in a juvenile matter, is that normal to see that kind of resolution that quickly?
Yeah, juvenile matters are traditionally handled a lot quicker than adult matters, and I think it's just the nature of what happens. But you know, with with children that, or kids that break the law, holding them accountable, the sooner the better. And that's what we try to do. So the juvenile system does work a lot quicker. You know, in a criminal, adult criminal case, if they don't plead guilty and they go to trial, you know, it's going to last a couple months. In a juvenile case, in this case, they admitted the petition. So it goes quickly. I mean, it can happen. It's not unusual for it to happen within a month of the crime or the arrest that we dispose of a juvenile case. And that's what we did in this case.
We're just about ready to wrap up the program for the month, and I wanted to catch real quick on a couple of bigger cases that are coming through your office right now. There was a series of indictments handed down by a grand jury on the 17th of this past month. Charles Newman, and I bring the next one up specifically because these are names that anyone that's been in tune with the news here over the last couple of years should recognize. Shoa Lee and C. Vang are going through your office again, Mike.
Right. Some new drug charges on the Shoa Lee and Vang, and the Charles Newman case is a child sexual assault case that's a very scary case and that we're that's going through, and I'm glad that we were able to get that started, and hopefully we work that through the system and get it resolved.
Now, Lee and Vang, they were involved in the countywide burglary spree that took place here a couple years ago. Why are they not in prison for that, or did they serve time and have been released? I mean, it would seem like you go across and do that kind of damage that you would think you were going to be in prison for a while.
They were involved in the burglary spree and the fact that they possessed some of the property that was stolen. They actually didn't go in the houses. They weren't charged with the burglary. They were charged with possession of stolen property and some related drug charges. Lee went to prison. I don't think Vang did. Lee went to prison, and he was when this new charges happened, he's out on parole, so he's being supervised. So his parole is at issue, and he has to deal with the new charges.
And then as we get ready to wrap up the show, I mean, there's plenty that we still want to talk to, but we just don't have the time today. We will next month address the, and I wrote down theft. I don't know why I wrote down theft in my notes, but the case of the felony horse abuse, right, that went through. The individuals involved in that were found not guilty by a jury. We'll talk about that next month, get a little in-depth in that. And you had an interesting trip to New York City here.
Right. As we've talked about this, as president of the National District Attorneys Association, I was able to go to New York, and I got a tour of the Manhattan DA's office, and what a different world it is there. You know, 100,000 criminals come through there. Their office hours at the state's attorney's office are 8 a.m. to 1 a.m. I mean, they got used to, there used to be a show on Night Court.
Night,
well, that's
Court.
Actually happened. So it'll be a good segment. It's really an interesting in how they deal with things. We sat in on arraignments, and my kids are with me, and we sat in there, and the first case called attempted murder. The guy had just shot at some people like 3 hours before he's appearing in court, and we're sitting in there with him. And so I got some good stories about that to tell about how much of a benefit it is to be living in here on South Dakota rather than New York City. It's fun to go visit. You know, Times Square is fun. We saw a couple shows. It's fun, but I'm glad I live in here on South Dakota.
Well, I look forward to hearing that story next month on the Mike Moore Show. That will wrap it up for the June 2015 edition. That coming up on the July 2015 edition of the Mike Moore Show on Dakota Country 1210.
KOKK.
Enjoy your Saturday.